step up and speak out.
You tune into ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. The name is Ladikwederai. It is the platform on this 8th of April 2019, and it's just gone half past the hour of 7 o'clock. Rather, we're here for the next hour, interrogating some of the top issues that are at the top of your mind, and as far as the country's concerned. Just a few of the frequencies you can listen to us on: Kariba 105.3, Victoria Falls 106.5, Mutare 95.4, Bulawayo in my hometown 106.7. We're broadcasting out of Harare, where our frequency is 106.4. If you want to listen to us over the internet, it's www.zfmstereo.co.zw. You can download the TuneIn app, which is available for free, rather, and you can listen to us, as I said, live and in charge. And our WhatsApp number is 0731-168045, and our call-in number is 0772-168045. Both are open, and I'm ready to take questions, in as far as the topic today is concerned. My guest is already having a bit of a smile because I stumbled over a word. Probably like the sixth time I've had you in the studio. Thank you very much for coming in. But before I introduce you, it's been almost 8 months into the new administration of President Emmerson Mnangagwa, and there have been many conversations around it, from economic outlook, fuel issues, cyclone Idai response, and more. And tonight I'm joined by the Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Information, Publicity and Broadcasting Services, Mr. Nick Mangwana. Thank you very much for joining us.
Larry, thank you for having me.
So I'm going to start off right straight off the bat. For starters, how best can you describe the current administration's reign ever since the July 2018 elections?
I think the key word that we can use is stabilizing. We are seized with the issue of making sure the economy is stabilized. So when we say stabilizing or stabilization, we are saying things are unstable. That's why they need to be stabilized. That's why we got the program that you know, STSP, or the Transitional Stabilization Program. So this is what we're focused on: making sure things are stable, making sure everything has been put in place, the pillars that underpin economic development are in place, and then from December 2020, we will start the economic development phase. So that's what I would describe the last 8 months. We are seized with issues of putting fundamentals in place to ensure our economy is stable.
So we're talking essentially about another roughly 19 months or so until things stabilize properly.
Who said it was going to be easy? We said it's going to be a bumpy road, and it's going to be a bumpy road. And the program that we put in place since October 2018 to December 2020, this TSP, has to run for that period. And we believe we are on the right track. And within that time, things should change, and should change positively for Zimbabweans. But one thing what we will not do is to give people false expectations that things are going to be stable tomorrow. I think this is where the biggest problem is, that we've got a crisis of expectation among our people. They are looking forward to what some would call a microwave solution or mushroom solution. This is not what we have. If you have a microwave solution, it won't be sustainable. But what we are engaged with or in is a long-term sustainable solution, economic development that's sustainable, that will go from generation, from this generation, and be handed over to the next generation.
0731-168045. That's the number you can get in touch with me in the studio, so that we can I can get you in on the conversation. It's 0772-168045 being the call-in number. The other one that I mentioned at the beginning was the WhatsApp number. Now, looking first of all at that transitional stabilization program that you talk about, it was crafted, and it's a program as you spoke about. It's about fiscal and monetary policies being agreed and rolled out in such a way so that you can achieve what you want to achieve in 2020. So since then, do you believe that it has progressed as well as you wanted it to, or not?
We are on the right track, like I said before, Larry. One of the things that we said we're going to do is currency reform. and you are alluding to the monetary policy statement and the changes that came place. The Minister of Finance said we are on the roadmap to bring our dollar back. And as you can see, everything that we're packaging is going towards that. And we cannot be a country without its own currency. And we are going towards there. And we are doing that in a very measured and cautious way. And yeah, things have been going on well. Like I said, things will be top-steady for a while. And we will get there. But the fundamentals have to be in place. And we are putting the pillars in. We are digging deep foundations, brick upon brick, until we get to where we want to go.
But then the question will be, we hear about TSP so much. And don't you think that some of the buy-in that is missing is down to the fact that it sounds so mysterious? It's like the mega deals. They just sound like it's happened, but no one really knows what it's about.
I think you've got a point. The program at the moment is not within people. So we are putting in place, as a Minister of Information, we have programs in place to ensure that the program goes down to the grassroots, that there is a total buy-in from the people. We do not want this animal called TSP to be as mysterious as it is now. We are going to put in programs in place where we actually are going to have roadshows, and people are going to engage in those roadshows, because the government cannot move without the people. We need to carry everyone along. And as long as there is any Zimbabwean who is not understanding what we are trying to do, the buy-in will not be universal. And we need a total consensus on this. So that's why I'm saying we get the gap. We know that there's a gap in this space, but we want everyone to occupy this particular space so that we move together.
The next question that I ask after that is to say, for example, part of this has been trying to be attractive to investment from internally and outside the country.
That's correct.
Are you satisfied? This is starting from, when the government came into place from July. Are you satisfied with the level of investment?
It's not as where we want it to be, but the expression of interest has been there and it's always there. We have some other events that have taken place, and the Dirajecha thing that has taken place, which sometimes makes people a bit more cautious. But we are going right. I think you remember a day when we were doing the post-cabinet briefing, when we gave about 11 joint venture contracts that had been signed and authorized by cabinet. And those are actually actualizing. Unfortunately, I didn't bring the whole lot, but in the next program, I will bring the whole lot and I will tell you the progress where each one is. So yeah, the interest is there for Zimbabwe. There is some buy-in. Is it where we want it to be? No, not by any stretch of imagination. Is the turnaround program as fast as we want it to be? No, not by any stretch of imagination. But the fact that there is this interest in what we are offering, the fact that there are people that are coming for explorative meetings is good, but the conversion rate is too low for our liking.
But the question that will follow is, a lot of what you're talking about is external factors. Some other people did other things. What has the government learned in terms of what it may have not accomplished in the level that it wanted or failed to do that may have slowed down the interest, so to speak?
I think our ease of doing business has not gone as fast as we need to be. But I'm sure, was it this weekend, that the ZIDA bill was gazetted? I'm sure it's just a few days ago. That is a fundamental, that's a key element, a key instrument. Because once we have that in place, once Parliament has passed that, and now we have the Act, it means we'll streamline our processes, which some people find quite unfriendly to business. We will cut out a lot of bureaucracy and red tape, which again is unfriendly to business. We will remove all the chaff that make this destination an unfavorable destination to capital. This is where we want to go. So yeah, there is a lot that we need to change. Our bureaucracy is not good. The president spoke of bureaucratic bottlenecks. I've seen them. They are there in the system. There's a lot we need to do, and there's a lot we are doing. We are talking of a system that has been doing certain things for a very, a certain way for a very, very long time. It's not going to be easy to change it. But the question which everyone asks is, are we on the right track? Yes, by God, we are on the right track. Are we doing all we can? Yes, the conviction and the commitment is there. So that is what gives me hope. That is what gives, what keeps me optimistic. And that is what Zimbabwe should buy into, because the commitment, the political will is there, and the drive is there, the motivation is there. Now the momentum is getting there.
But then some people then argue, although you know, the different quarters will have their own different arguments about this, that our re-engagement efforts, which seem to be going at a canter last year, with the rest, what was formerly hostile nations to Zimbabwe, some of those nations have become a little bit iffy around the government because of events that took place over the last couple of months since the new administration came in.
I wouldn't put it that way, but the first thing that we have to establish is re-engagement. Is re-engagement an event? Not by any means. Re-engagement is a process. When we say engagement, it means you are keeping on doing something. You're keeping on, you're interfacing. So when you're interfacing with somebody, there is a time when, there are times when, you know, things don't go away, don't go your way, and, you know, you fumble a bit. Oh, you know, you wobble a bit, but you still get find your rhythm. 1st August, yeah, that was a wobble. 14 to 16, that was a wobble. There are people who thought Zimbabwe was unstable. It's understandable. But did we steady the ship after? We did. And the ship is steady and it's stable. So, well, we were engaging with the European Union at an official level. You know, at an official level, we mean bureaucrats. It means us, the civil servants, were engaging with the European Union. Now we have upgraded that engagement from official level to ministerial level. That's positive. That's progress. That's re-engagement, making progress. So, we are making progress. The Commonwealth Secretariat, are they coming to have conversations with us? Yes, they are. They are having conversations with us regarding us rejoining the Commonwealth. Are we having conversations with the Americans? Of course, where is the Minister of Finance right now? Where is the Secretary for Finance? Conversations are taking place at international level. What is that? Engagement and re-engagement. We're engaging as we're opening new frontiers, but we're also re-engaging with those, you know, former friends with whom we had fallen out. Which are these former friends? The European Union, the Americans, and other Western countries, the Commonwealth countries. We are engaging with them. So, are we on track? Yes, of course. Here's the evidence. What more evidence do you want?
0731 168 045. That's the number. I'm going to read this message from Susan. You should know, but I want to just have one more follow up on this issue. Is to say,
sure.
You know, now you talked about progress in engaging on the international front.
That's correct.
Then now there's this dialogue process that's been talked about in Zimbabwe. And most people say, okay, is it meaningful if the biggest opposition party in the country is not taking part in it?
Zimbabwe is a burgeoning democracy, and people have got the right to choose how they want to proceed. But let me try to unpack what the re-engagement is meant to achieve. Do you remember, Larry, just before the elections, the president wanted to meet all the other candidates, of the presidential candidates, and all the political parties at State House. Unfortunately, the first time, I think 108 political parties emerged. And then the more people spoke about this, we ended up with about 129 political parties, and the State House could not accommodate, because even if he had said only 3 people per political party, how many people were we going to have? Nearly 400 people. So it wouldn't have worked. So and then he said, okay, let me wait for all those political parties that get nominated. Anyone with a nomination, it still wasn't going to work. What was that? That was dialogue. What was that meant to achieve? This is before elections. It was meant to achieve some consensus, a national consensus, to say, what is the national interest? What do we want to achieve as a country? And in other areas of disputation, building onto those elections, were supposed to be dealt with in that forum. Okay, they were dealt with by the inter-party dialogue. So, what did they call it? The inter-party dialogue. And what does that say? It says there was always and there's always been dialogue in Zimbabwe among political parties. The inter-party dialogue ran for 4 years before the elections. What's the difference between what's on offer now? It's just this is being done at presidential level. So, if somebody decides, or a political entity decides that they are not part of this, they can't be part of this dialogue, it's okay. Zimbabweans will talk to one another. Because dialogue is not just between political parties. The president has met churches, he has met trade unions, he has met students, he has met business, he has met commerce. He's met every facet of Zimbabwean society. But if a political entity decides that it doesn't want to be part of a conversation, that can be forced on anyone. That can be foisted on anyone. But will Zimbabweans talk and will progress be made? Yes, progress will always be made. Because in every situation where there's consensus, there's that dissenting voice. But does the dissenting voice overwhelm or does it trump the wishes of the majority of the people? No, it doesn't. But there's another point. You see, there are issues. Democracy has to be refined all the time. The quality of our democracy has to be upgraded all the time. And we have to be a learning country. And if that happens in any country under the sun, you improve your electoral system, you improve your whole democratic system, you improve your processes. And this is part of this conversation. So I do not understand why people exclude themselves from a conversation that will make 2023 much easier for everybody. 2023 will help our country. Because the same contentions that people are talking about now, these are the conversations they should bring to the table so that people talk about those and frame a new roadmap to the next elections. But if people don't want to have this conversation, then you hear January 2023, they say, we are not happy with the electoral act, or we're not happy with that, we're not happy with that. But they had all the time to speak. They had all the time to engage. This is why it's important for everybody to rally. We have been very clear, and I wrote a piece about this to say, this is not about power sharing. This is about what's bedeviling our own country. So, does every Zimbabwe have a point to contribute? Yes, including the political parties that are dissenting. They've got a lot to contribute to that conversation. But nobody can be forced to speak if they don't want to speak. If people have selective mutism, we respect.
Okay, I don't know what you think about that that aspect of the response to that particular question. I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, I want to read a couple of your messages as well as take a couple of calls. I've had the buzzer lighting up just a bit. I just wanted to get through a couple of things with the Nick Mangwana, who is the permanent secretary in the Information, Publicity and Broadcasting Services Ministry. CFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town.
A platform. Step up and speak up.
You're still tuned into ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. I just remember the conversation is live, 0772-168-045. I'll call in number and our WhatsApp number, 0731-168-045. Next question. You talked about the aspect, I mean, about dialogue. And both sides seem to have what they call red lines. So one side says, we've got these demands, and the other side says, we've got these demands. So given that sort of circumstances, what's the way forward?
What both sides? I do not know any sides.
Okay, we're talking about the dissent. The political parties in dialogue.
Oh, the mainstream political parties.
Yes.
And against the one dissenting, or a few dissenting political parties.
Let's talk about, the MDC has said that it believes that it has a couple of issues that it needs to be dealt with in as far as they keep referring to the fact that they won't meet the president as the president, and they'll refer to him as the head of ZANU-PF. And then the president says, until there's a recognition of my position as the president, then the meeting is not going to happen. So what exactly, how do you get away from such a statement?
The president's position is very simple. He has invited everybody to come to set ourselves to have a conversation. As I said, if people choose not to talk, that's up to them. This country has got leadership. It is leadership which was sworn in, which took the oath of office according to the Constitution. Leadership which even received congratulations, congratulatory message messages from the United Nations and most major countries under the sun. So it has leadership. If people don't want to, you know, acknowledge that there's leadership in this country, it's up to them. We can't, you know, in every situation there is always the fringe, for want of a better word, lunatics, and the fringe minority. And nobody can do that. Every situation where there's a mainstream, those hands are there. But the will of the people would not be stopped because there's somebody who has decided that they are taking an understandable position. It is what it is.
But surely, if somebody's gotten about 2 million votes, they surely cannot be referred to as a fringe minority or fringe lunatic.
The position of a fringe minority is basically that if a leadership takes a position which even the people on the ground are not taking, the people on the ground, you know, the majority of the people, even which voted those 2 million voters, they are, I would say, they are with that position, because there's no referendum to say they're with that position. The way our democracy works is that whoever gets 50% plus one has won the elections. It means that 49% of the population plus some change in those situations would be governed by somebody they didn't elect. That's how it is. 50 plus one would have made that election or that choice. The rest wouldn't have. But those are the rules. You govern and you live by those rules. So our rules are that if 50 plus 1% of the population have said this is what it is, they are the majority and their will be done. And the government they have chosen is the government that will lead the country. Brexit right now, if we go to Britain, is happening. But do you know, 17 point something million people voted to exit. 16 point something million people voted to stay. But the will of the people is being done. Because the rules are that if 51% have said this is how it's going to be, and that's how it is going to be.
But of course, that is one way to put it. But if you have a situation which is exigent, you're trying to deal with what everybody's referred to as a political impasse, surely there has to be a way in which you say, okay, I understand that this is my position. How can we find each other?
You can only do that if you have a conversation. You see, Larry, the whole point of dialogue...
But the thing is, like I said, if the red lines exist, much the same way like you talk about Brexit, if people have got red lines, people are not going to move from their positions. So as long as you're not moving from your positions, how are you going to engage?
Then you have to know who has got something to lose. You see, in these situations, let's face one political fact here. The incumbent has got the advantage because the incumbent has been given a mandate to rule the country or to govern the country. They are governing. They are fulfilling their role. If you don't want to ride along, preferably every Zimbabwean rides along and we got the buy-in from every Zimbabwean. But we don't live in an ideal world. We don't live in a utopian world. We live in a real world. So far from utopia, what do we have? We are going to have people that are going to pull the other way. So we will invest more energy to make sure that we pull the right way. If people pull contra, we will make sure the force of progress will win the argument. And the force of progress is the force that is saying Zimbabwe should be an upper middle income country by 2030. And we want Zimbabweans to pull towards that goal. And between now and December 2020, we are going to do this for the country to make sure our country is stable. We have been in this wilderness for too long, and it's time to get out. We hope and we wish every Zimbabwe will ride along. But if they don't, we'll pull along regardless.
Okay, this is just hanging up now. Just trying to open this message. I want to read your some of your first messages here. Oh dear. Can you sort that out for me, Anisu? The thing that is worrying is somebody says that dialoguing with ZANU-PF is a waste of time. I'm so glad my party, MDC Alliance, is not part of that sham dialogue. MDC and its other 2 million voters are safer. So that somebody saying they speak on behalf of what they believe is a position of the party, says, I have confidence in President Edim Nangagwa and his administration, but his efforts are being played down by people who know that Zimbabwe is now on a track to prosperity. The people say that, who said if they are not declared winners of the 2018 elections, this country will be ungovernable through destructive demonstrations. I had investors who wanted to come to and invest in Zimbabwe, but they made a U-turn after the violent demos. That's double A in Harare. And finally, I want to read this one. And like I said, my phone lines are both open. 0772-168-045 being our call-in number. And our WhatsApp being 0731-168-045 says, I just wish government just listened to his people. Please remove your unpopular 2% tax. And what other plan do you have apart from re-engagement?
The TSP, as I call it, as we say, it's a program. It involves a lot of things. It has got five pillars. I will narrate them for the benefit of your listener. The five pillars, one of them is governance reforms. Now, let's expand. What are we saying? We are saying capital, investment, and the people will flourish where there are systems that are efficient, where there is governance, where there is accountability, where there is transparency. We are working on those. I think every week you hear this bill has gone in, this bill has gone in, this bill has gone in, because we are reforming. I think when I first came here, one of you, I think it's either you, Larry, or your producer was asking me, so where is your car? Where is your new car? Where is your Pemse car? Why are you driving that old banger out there? Why? Because this is the reform we're talking about. Austerity for prosperity. We are not wasting money. We are not wasteful. We only spend as necessary. And you can see how frugal we are. You have been to my office. You didn't even have a cup of tea. Do you think this was me being stingy? No, because there was none. I'm more hospitable than that, you know, given the right equipment. But we didn't have. There is nothing spectacular about what you saw. This is austerity. So, governance. One pillar. The next pillar is inclusive economic growth. What we are trying to do, which is why this dialogue is also about, we want every Zimbabwean to participate, because this government does not represent ZANU-PF only, or ZANU-PF voters only. It represents every Zimbabwean, which is why I saw Charlton when they were flashing his diplomatic passport the other time. Who gave him that passport? The Zimbabwean government, because it represents everybody. And all those opposition MPs who are getting their salaries every month, where are they getting from the government of Zimbabwe? Because it's the government of the people. It's not giving ZANU-PF MPs only. It's giving every Zimbabwean their allowances and their stipends. And everything that's happening right now, there's food shortage, and people are getting food everywhere. It's because it's the government of the people. This is what we mean by inclusive economic growth. We want not only investment from outside, but Zimbabweans who live in Zimbabwe, Zimbabweans who live in the diaspora, to have a role to play in making Zimbabwe a success, in achieving and attaining that vision 2030. We also said we want macroeconomic stability and financial re-engagement. Not only re-engagement, financial re-engagement as well. You know, for the first time, Zimbabwe is actually committed to paying its debts. And we are. The 2% he's talking about. Where is it going? Right now, people see where their money is going. 100 million was disbursed like that when we had a disaster in Manicaland and in other provinces through Cyclone Idai. Why? And where did, under different circumstances, what would they have done if this government was not doing what it's doing, the new dispensation? Do you know what would they have done, Larry? Would they have issued treasury bills? But we didn't, did we? Because the people of Zimbabwe have financed their government and their fiscus through partially the 2% tax. Infrastructure development is going on. You know, people, we don't notice what's going on. But you know very well that you're not running into potholes every time you're driving. They are being removed. They are repaired. Roads are much better. Elsewhere, in Chimanimani, as I'm talking to you, the yellow machinery, the bulldozers, everything is on the ground, performing. Rehabilitating infrastructure that was debilitated from our own ministry. The transmitter sites that had gone down, they're all up. We're beaming again in all those areas. We wouldn't do that if we don't capacitate the government by paying taxes, would we? So we have a government now that has been capacitated through its taxpayers, through its people, that are paying the 2%. It's relevant, it's important. We cannot be always a bad data. I know this is a problem in Zimbabwe. It's not only a problem in government. It is a problem with individuals. But people don't pay their debts.
True, but then the question is, I've got a message here. It says there's no austerity when the president is attending every event he's invited to, and there's no austerity when civil servants are allocated $400 million in salary increments. It can't even start on prosperity.
You see, maybe we should go a bit more technical, but the whole point is, we know what happened when they, with the monetary settlement. We know what happened, what's happening with inflation. A sensitive government would cushion its people from struggling. As civil servants, our ends cannot meet. And they are civil servants. There are people that I work with that have struggled to come to work because they cannot even afford. Do we want a listening government or an insensitive government? What does a listening government do? It looks around for resources, and part of the resources people would have contributed to, it will cushion its workers. Because any employer, be it government or private sector, your biggest asset is your employee. That's your biggest asset before you have put any machinery, any software, or anything else that you have in there. The employees, the people that work for you. And a government that looks after its people is a good government. Because I know there are people that would love to see people demonstrating, civil servants striking, not going to work. But you see, what happens when civil servants strike is that you are coming from South Africa. You won't be able to cross that border because there's no immigration and customs. When you're flying in, you won't be able to land because there's no civil aviation there. There is no customs. When you go to look for a birth certificate, when your missus or when you give birth, you won't be able to get that birth certificate for your son. So when you're talking of civil, or for your child, when you're talking of civil service, this is what we're talking about, the people that make things happen. So, should they scrounge in abject poverty when the government, when people have paid their taxes through the 2%? The government is sensitive. The president listens. And when that situation arises, what does it do? It puts some more money and say, let's try to cushion you from this predicament, because there is inflation in Zimbabwe. We shop from this, we are civil servants. We shop from the same shops people in private sector do. So we feel the pinch that everyone else feels. And we struggle to go to work like everyone else. So should we really suffer? Yes, we should also austere like everyone else. But come on, this is 400 million. It's not, which is spread across the whole civil service from director downwards. And it's the least the government can do.
Okay, I'm going to take this call, but I still want you to answer the second part of that question.
Oh, what was it, by the way?
Let's just take this call. I want to lose this call. The second part of the question was is it austerity if the president is traveling to every event that he's invited to?
Re-engagement and engagement. What more commitment of engagement do we have to show? Except when the highest office shows commitment and they attend not every event but events in which there is a calculated dividend for Zimbabwe. When there is an economic dividend, when there is a diplomatic dividend to be achieved, it's okay for the president to attend. That's part of hard work. It's like what austerity when the permanent secretary attends to every show that is invited to. But that's engagement. Today I'm at ZFM. Last week I was at Star FM. The next time I was at Classic FM. That's engagement. So should I say no? This is at my level. At the presidential level, he engages too. Just the same way you want me to engage.
Okay, let's get this first call. Our first call of the evening. You're live on ZFM Stereo. Okay. We've lost that call. Please do try to call in on 0772-168-045. That's our call-in number. So please do try to call in. See if I've got that call. You're live on ZFM Stereo. What's your name, contribution, and where you're calling from? Okay, looks... looks like we've lost that call. We're going to try and get that call in. We're going to take a quick break. I just want to make sure that the lines are working properly. So I'll be back. We'll be back with you just now. ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town.
Forum. Step up and speak up.
Just tuning into ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, the hottest radio in town. We've just had a look at the lines. Let's see if I can get some of your calls in on 0772-168-045. There, I've got a phone call coming in. You're live on ZFM Stereo. What's your name, contribution, and where are you calling from?
Okay, my name is Boswell. I'm calling from Bulawayo.
What's your question for... please carry on.
My question is, what is the government doing, you know, to solve our own internal problems rather than going abroad and trying to get these finances from these Western countries? What is the government doing in order to solve our own internal problems? Like, we have this another situation by, you know, this executive this degree for something along with doctrine. But he did not have the right qualifications. So what is government doing to clean up our own here in Zimbabwe? That's my question.
Thank you for your contribution. So you say, what is government doing to clean up? So, for example, one of the things you mentioned was the issues to do with what's happening at Zinara. What's the government doing to deal with some of those issues?
You see, Larry, when the new dispensation came in, there was a lot of rot. A lot of rot. Corruption was at its utmost. The rot in Zinara go back to the old dispensation. What's happening now is that the revelations are only coming in the new dispensation. What has been done at Zinara? The board that was there was chucked away. A new board was put in place, I think, about 3-4 months ago. And that new board has already fired the executives that were perceived not to be very clean. They are in the midst of recruiting even a new chief executive. Zinara is being put to fulfill its own mandate. Because what was happening in Zinara, one of the key issues was that Zinara got involved. It's supposed to fund, but it got involved in procurement. It was giving contracts. It was doing all sorts of rot. But it's now focusing on its core mandates in terms of its founding act. Right now, it's going around the provinces, from province to province, engaging stakeholders and saying, okay, this is our job. The road departments does the construction, DDF does the construction, or in other institution does the construction but of the roads. But us, our job is to fund. And you do your own procurement. This is cleaning up. You see, the biggest thing that you need to clean up when you're cleaning up is transparency and accountability. You need to be able to beam the light in every corner so that people see what's happening. So the issue, there is no question that there are a number of institutions that were rotten during the old dispensation. But one thing I challenge people is, talk to me now about the rot in institutions today, and then we are talking. But the fact that there was rot in the past, we cannot run away from that. We know that there were people that were broken out of police custody in Avondale there. Wasn't that is another issue? We know that twice or thrice people were released when they'd been arrested. Wasn't that over is another issue? Was that in the new dispensation? By all means, no. It was in the old dispensation. There are a number of institutions from the UZ to, you know, there was rot. We cannot run away from that.
Okay, I just want to get another caller in.
Sure.
You're live on ZFM Stereo. What's your name, contribution, and where you're calling from? Are you still there? We seem to have lost that caller. Give us a call on 0772-168-045. I want to get as many of your calls in the last 19 minutes we still have on the show. I want to get as many of your calls in. So when you call in, make your question brief so that we can make sure we can get as many of the calls in as possible. I've got another call that's coming in, flashing here.
Probably I said, get your answers brief too.
You're live with ZFM Stereo. What's your name, contribution, where are you calling from?
evening. I'm calling from Harare. I just want to ask, what is government's thrust on corruption at the moment, as we are seeing all those that were accused of corruption being acquitted in the courts? So is it fair to assume that there wasn't corruption in the first place?
Thank you for your contribution.
I think it's a very good question. What that says to me is that corruption is a very difficult crime to prosecute. Very difficult. But the will and the political will is there to prosecute corruption. That's why these prosecutions are taking place. I pray and I hope that we have more convictions than we are having right now. That is very tragic, that a lot of people are not going where they are supposed to go. But the fact that we've got a robust criminal justice system is also something that we have to applaud. We hope fiends and villains would go to Kurubi. But we also hope that there is no single innocent person that will go to Kurubi. And right now, we are having a situation where not many convictions are happening. But I hope that will change soon. And I think that's a plea to our prosecutors, a plea to our criminal justice system, that really we need to build confidence. And the only way we build confidence is that we should see a high profile person whom everyone knows is corrupt, wearing those olive green shorts, and the prison regalia, as we call it, and the other things that go with it. I think that will give a lot of comfort and will be to a lot of people, and it will be a deterrent to would-be offenders. But I work in the civil service, and I can tell you we are all scared of this thing called abuse of public office, because we have seen prosecutions. So I think the deterrent is already working, but we also want the retribution and the punitive side to come into play by having those fiends and villains punished.
Okay, let's just get this call. You're live on ZFM Stereo. What's your name, contribution, and where you're calling from?
Hello, my name is Tendai. I'm calling from Harare. There's some similarities between the old dispensation and the new dispensation. For example, we're being taxed with 2%, which is fine, and we're told it's being used at so whatever places it's being used. But then if you look at the sources of revenue, which government is getting, for example, diamond money, since the old days of NIBT, they came to Namasa, until now, we have no idea where that money is going to. All the years, we've taxed it 2% and it's been used for this. But for diamond revenue, we don't know where the money is going to. So I think, and as well, prices have more than quadrupled. So we're in trouble. We don't know what difference is it. Yeah. In fact, back then, the inflation was not as bad as it is right now. So I'm failing to understand whether we're going forward or we're actually retrobased and going backwards. For example, a bottle of cooking oil was going for $3, but now it's going for $12. Everyone knows that the price of fuel has quadrupled. And meanwhile, we don't know where the revenue for minerals such as diamonds and all these other revenues. So there's no transparency. And
okay. That was Tendai, wasn't it?
Yes.
I think he has got very good questions. The question I think which stands out is that he says, can we have more transparency on the diamond revenue? My response to him is, keep an eye on the Minister of Information Twitter handle. There will be transparency. We will account. You have proved already that we are very accountable and we give information, we give updates. It's a question that we are going to explore, and we'll share information.
Okay, let's get this other call in. You're live on ZFM Stereo. What's your name, contribution, where you're calling from?
My name is CEO. I'm calling from Dongoshawa. I would want to know, Mr. Mangwana, if he's position for government or ZANU-PF.
Okay, thank you for your question.
I will answer that directly. I work for government.
Okay, just give us a call, 0772-168-045. That's the number we have open right now. Got another one, another call coming in now. You're live on ZFM Stereo. What's your name, contribution, where you're calling from? Oh, unfortunately, you're really faint. Could you try and call us again on 0772-168-045? I want to get as many calls as I can in the last 14 minutes. And while I wait for the next call to come in, which I expect to come any second now, which is done already, you're live on ZFM Stereo. Okay, we seem to have a babe in the background. Do you want to sort that out for a second?
Hey, lad, how are you doing?
I'm good. You're live on ZFM Stereo. What's your name, contribution, where are you calling from?
Yeah, it's Eugene. Larry, the challenge you have is it's like this so-called new dispensation contains old faces. So I don't know what to do about it. And to gain confidence of the people, we have to see a real change in terms of how they go about their business. So I believe the personal drain that is in government has to be looked into. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your contribution. 0772-168-045 to get in touch. That question, that statement.
It's a very good question. A very good observation. But I will say this. Tulingwe, new face. Kirsty Coventry, new face. Nick Mangwana, new face.
Had to name yourself.
Amongst many others. And old faces gone. Are we done? We are not yet done. There is no way we can, we are not purging, really, we are reforming. There's a difference between the two. But if anybody is from the new dispensation and is not pulling his weight and is not pulling in the same direction as the president wishes, of course, you will see them leaving by the day. There has been a change in civil service. There has been a change in the political leadership, in the cabinet as well. Positive and refreshing. I think when the cabinet was announced, and even PEMSEX when they were announced, there was a lot of approval from the people. It's only now that we need everyone now to be pulling in the same direction and to show that these were good choices. I don't think anybody can question that. Maybe there were one or two people said, but so and so. Besides that, you cannot always get a consensus. But the overwhelming sentiment was these were right. These were good appointments.
Okay, you're live on ZFM Stereo. What's your name, contribution, and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yes, you're live on ZFM Stereo. What's your name, contribution, and where are you calling from?
Yeah, in the blessing, Rob Lawayo.
Okay, it's all right.
In Rudo Gubunza, Mangana Munozera, to Amgabiba Chiba Pachi Garo, Chingwachai, 80 cents, now Chingwachapa to $50. And even new dispensation, I'm going to tell you, when I'm going to out of a cabinet, it's not one gun. I'm going to tell you, when I tell you, right now, you're saying, I'm massive servants, I got to 400. But, you can't know, you're massive servants, we are all other people who are not working the government. What can, how can we survive here?
Thank you for your contribution.
Shingwa Shadura, currencies are changing. And zwazva taura blessing atisi kuramba kuti zvinhu zviri kudhura vamwe vataura mafuta ndomatotenga paano mashopa vanotenga ndatotengawo totosanganawo mafuta achitewo $12 $13 kubva pangari hazvisi kureva kuti izvozvo hatina new dispensation zviri kureva kuti tiri pakati pekushandura zvinhu ndataura wani kuti pachava nekudengenyeka nekugeda geda hazvisi tenyore it's not going to be easy. But we'll get there. Zvinoreva kuti pachangotova nevamwe vachada kuita profit sharing. Vachamhanya kuti vaite mari, vachirana mashopu kunge madhiri, kunge vari kudhila. You know, I know they're general dealers, but vaita madhiri, ivo vachirana mashops. Izvozvo zvichaitika. Asi patinenge tapedza kuisa fundamentals in place, tichava stable. Sekutaura kwandaita kuti tiri muperiod yeinstability, that's why tiri kustabilize. One of the things that will be unstable, and that's unstable, is prices. My prices are going to be unstable, and they are unstable. And they erode our income, they erode everyone's income, including mine and the president's and everyone's income. We accept that. And we also accept kuti it affects my workers other than civil servants out there. But what we are saying is, supposing you are working for OK, and OK raise their prices. You would expect that they will raise their wages too. Because if you raise the revenue factor, then the cost factor should be affected. And that is, they should be paying more. And that applies to every industry. That's that's working in here. That's functioning in Zimbabwe. When they escalate their prices to those usurious levels, we also expect that the wages will fall in tandem. That's normal. But the profiteering and the greedy, the avarice, that is pervading our society, is the cause of some of our problems. Because people want to make a quick buck and make it now. They raise their prices, but they continue to pay the same wages. The other cost factors are not running up as well, but they are raising their prices. And what happens is their margin comes from 15% to 45%, maybe to sometimes to even 200%, and they pocket the rest. That's unfair. That's profiteering, and that's very, very extortionate. That's not right. Every corporation, every shop has got a corporate social responsibility. And that means you have to consider your customers. You have to consider the communities in which you function, the communities that support your business. And that means the Zimbabwean people. We need that to come across. We need people to show that they are responsible corporate citizens. Unfortunately, in Zimbabwe at the moment, the only corporate responsibility we've seen is in Chimani Money. That's where people showed that they had corporate responsibility. But we're not having it.
You're live on ZFM Stereo. What's your name, contribution, and where you calling from?
I'm calling from Edmonds.
Okay, go ahead with the contribution.
I want to ask the Honorable, I think you are only targeting people really in town, not in all other parts of the country. So I think you must always think of dog farmers, maize farmers, self-farmers. Because what you are always talking about is all about people who are going to work. But there is nothing of those who are growing. Small-scale farmers.
Okay, thank you for your contribution.
The new dispensation loves farmers very much. This afternoon, actually, I attended a meeting where we were dealing with the issues of producer prices for the goods. What the government would say, would prescribe as the prices that GMB will take their maize at, cotton, wheat, soybeans, and so on. What would be the price? Unfortunately, I can't discuss that here because it will be announced in due time. But the point is, the government is seized with these issues. Farmers are close to our hearts. They are close to the center of government policy. And the reason why we're mentioning what we're mentioning is because the farmers, they are also consumers. They buy in the same supermarkets that we buy at. When they go to buy their inputs, they also buy from the shops that are getting these extortionate or charging these extortionate prices. So most of the issues that we are talking about, which affect the worker, also affect the businessman, also affect the farmer, because the farmer is a consumer. So they affect everybody. They affect a small trader. They also affect a corporation. Unstable prices.
We're going to get another caller in, 0772-168-045. You're live on ZFM Stereo. What's your name, contribution, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Larry Tendai, calling from Harare. I wanted to find out from the minister, my austerity measures, do they include the president's jet? Can you tell us the true story about the president's jet? How come the president is affording to hire a jet at the expense of everyone else in the country? Thanks.
Okay, Pabsek.
Thank you very much, Tendai, for your question. The austerity measures include the president. Like the president has explained, the country always has goodwill, and the president has got goodwill. So when you have goodwill, what happens when you have goodwill? One of the things that would happen is the country that has got goodwill, the leadership of that country, may donate medicines, may donate food, may donate hospital equipment or books, but they may also decide to save you from expending on your travel by paying for your travel. This is what happened in this particular case. Like the president explained, goodwill from certain friends afforded him or availed a plane for him to use on his travels, and we thank that nation for doing that.
But the question is, what is in it for them?
The question is, who, when people donate, what's in it for them?
No,
when,
it's a fair question.
No, it's a fair question, which can be countered by another question. That's why I'm saying, when people bring you medication, what's in it for them? When people give to this country, what's in it for them? When the British say we have put in 23 million to IDAI, what's in it for them?
But then the question becomes, for example, right now, we get told about these things after the fact.
Yep.
Isn't it an issue with government telling in the quest for transparency? Wouldn't it be in the best sense to say, you know what, to allay people's fears, whatever the case may be, this is what's actually happening, as it's happening, not a month after it happens.
We have seen now the effect. I think we'll learn from it. Since we are working in the communication ministry, we'll try to do a better job.
I've got a very interesting question here. Somebody says this is Wesley Marairi, who says what Nick Mangwana needs to address is where the 100-day reports are published. Can you commit to the ministry publishing objectives for each ministry, and then the report outlines what they have achieved?
I'm sure we had this conversation, didn't we, about 100 days in the past. I explained that the 100 days happen; they go in cycles. I think the first cycle, if I'm not wrong, ended on the 27th of February. And if they listen to the post-cabinet briefing, the achievements are actually published on that day. And if they also keep an eye on the ministry Twitter handle, we will always run what each ministry has done.
Beyond the achievements, sometimes people are saying we don't know what they're going to do. And is there a repository where I can get it, the information on what the objective of each ministry is?
Okay, we will try to upload them on our it's a very slow website, but we'll try to upload them on our website. But the cabinet, when these 100 days projects are set, they have to be approved by cabinet. Then the reports, they also have to be approved. They also have to be communicated to cabinet. So when they are approved by cabinet, we announce them. We will tell you that, for example, the Minister of ICT wants to put base stations in that place. There will be six base stations. They want to do that in 100 days, but they also want to do communication centers in that place. When the 100 days expire, we will tell you that the base station in such and such a place is now beaming, and the base station in such and such a place, and the communication site or the communication center or the media center is now beaming. So we give the target and we give the report after to say, has that been achieved or not? Clearly, the fact that this caller is asking about that shows we are not doing a very good job of communicating it. So we have taken that on board. We'll try to do a better job.
My throat is just gone. I should have been having water. Permanent Secretary of the Ministry of Information, Publicity and Broadcasting Services, Mr. Nick Mangwana, you're always welcome to come and explain to the nation the position of the government. Thank you very much for coming. Coming up is Chilla with our story. I am back with you tomorrow on Health Matters between 8:30 and 9. But otherwise, as I always say, from where I come from, my name is Larry Kwedirai. Asili Swasebenza. Take care of yourself.